Blog Talk Radio.
You say you're leaving, won't be back no more. Further down the road, baby, you'll reach just what you sow. But that's all right, I want you to know. One monkey don't stop my show. I help you, baby, you couldn't help yourself. Now you're on your feet, you're helping somebody else. But that's alright, I want you to know. One monkey don't stop old Sonny's show. Say you're leaving, this is your last go round. But I'll find me somebody, baby, before the sun go down. But that's alright, I want you to know. One monkey don't stop old Sonny's show.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. 3, 2, 1. And on 4. Does that sound all right, Superstar?
You do. You sound great. Late, I'm, but great.
you know, I'm... well, first of all, welcome to the ThirdManIn.com's Puck Chatter Radio. It is... Well, full disclosure, it's Thursday night, November the 14th, 2013. Yes, the Blackhawks are playing right now, and we're not there. I just got home from work, actually. But since I had to work late, and we haven't done a show in a while, I figured, why don't I call up Superstar? We'll do a show.
Yeah, boy, I like it. It has been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I stopped counting like 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I was so excited to do the show about 10 minutes ago that I said, I walk over to the station here, and I got a big glass of water in my hand, and I go to put the glass of water down, and I put it down, and then I'm like, oh, I don't want the water there. I want it over here. So I pick up the water, and as I'm moving it, I spill a big thirsty beverage cup of water all over the desk. Computer, I had a work binder, so like all these important documents just soaked. Meanwhile, I go to log into the switchboard, and that isn't working. So I almost gave up, but I said, you know what? I set everything up last night, and I was like, well, let's just go ahead and do it. People have been asking. They're like, "All right," like, because I feel bad because people like email me like, "Buck, are you all right? Everything good with you, Buck?" You know,
people get worried when they don't hear from you.
I don't. those are my happiest times. I don't know. It's well, yeah. I guess we haven't talked since the start of the Blackhawks season, so we'll. I don't know. We'll talk about them. The Rockford Ice Hogs. I do have a lot of listener emails I haven't been able to get to. We'll try to go over the ones that I haven't answered personally, directly. We'll do a few of those and some other things as well. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, actually. I did want to get in at least one or two shows here before I go out. Next week I'm going on that out west for that California swing of the Pearl Jam tour. So I wanted to get a couple out of the way here before we get back. If this goes terribly, terribly wrong, we could just delete it because no one knows that we're even doing this right now. So,
so how is it different than any other week?
Well, most of the time there are people listening live, like all the time, really. But if someone's listening live right now, then they were really desperate or had tremendous timing to go to the Blog Talk page and see that we were doing one. But yeah, I'm not even watching the Blackhawks game. Are you watching it right now?
I am not.
Yeah, I'm not even. I'll watch it later. It's on right now, so don't expect any commentary on the Blackhawks-Coyotes game because I'm not watching it. I'll watch it later. I don't really give a fuck. I'll catch it. I'll watch it. Like I lay in bed every night and just like lay there for like 2 hours trying to fall asleep. So I figure I'll just watch it later.
Good plan.
Yeah. We got a big shindig coming up this week. You know what? Right before we started or we attempted to start, I read your last email to me today, and you seemed a little irritated with me. You want to talk about it?
I don't even remember what the last email was, but I probably am.
You want to vent your frustrations with me?
No, I mean, I don't really have any frustrations, you know, other than, I'm trying to put things together and people just aren't freaking cooperating.
Are you talking about for this weekend? Or are you talking about for St. Louis?
Well, both.
Oh. Well, it's just our traveling group is just me and you, so for St. Louis.
Right. Well, yeah, but then I got to try to plan something with you. And, you know, I'm very on top of it. I like to, you know, have things set and not have to worry about it. You're very, shit'll figure itself out. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, obviously you and I have gotten along great for 20 years. There's just little nuances that you frustrate me, I frustrate you. But no, what's really frustrating me about this weekend, and let me tell you, I've never had so many issues trying to plan a get-together. You know, and first of all, my frustrations are with the establishment, who is not being cooperative whatsoever. My wife, who, you know, God bless her, her idea of, hey, let's, you know, throw a party for your birthday was sending out one Facebook, you know, event page a month and a half ago and then not doing anything else. So, you know, she's not exactly stepped up on that one either. And it's frustrating, Block.
Well, we are on Saturday. I'm kind of excited because we're going to go to the boat.
We are. I'm super excited. Obviously, you and I are definitely...
Which one are we going? The horseshoe, right?
The horseshoe.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, you and I have visited God knows how many casinos and God knows
how many...
I
was thinking about this the other day. Can you think back to a time... Even this year, when we've hung out, that it did not involve gambling? I was trying to think about this. I was like, every time I've seen you, it is in some form or another, maybe for like the odd thing, like a funeral or something. But when was the last time that we hung out that it didn't involve gambling?
I can't, you know, maybe.
And here you go. Like, it was just supposed to be a nice, nice Saturday outing, and you had to throw the horseshoe into it, which I'm not complaining about, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Although you're also irritated with me about that because, okay, so Superstar, for our listening audience, Superstar emails me the other day and he's like, the bus leaves for the Horseshoe at 12:05. I'm like, what bus? The bus. The bus. It's leaving the hotel. Now, first of all, it's in Hammond, Indiana. Like, why do we have to take a bus? Why can't we just drive?
Well, yes, we definitely could just drive. My thinking was, because there's numerous festivities later in the day, I didn't know that you were going to be driving downtown because of everything else that's going on throughout the night and probably into the early morning.
I'm probably not. If I could avoid driving downtown, I will.
Right. So
because I don't know. I don't want to get a hotel because I live in the city. It's ridiculous for me to get a hotel. I live in the city of Chicago. Why should I get a hotel room in the city?
Right. No, which is totally makes sense. My thing was, so you weren't going to have your car, and there's a free shuttle from the hotel that I'm staying at. Why not just get on the free shuttle?
Yeah, but like you're like, are you going to be there on time? And I'm like, dude, I'll be there.
Well, many of the listeners might not know your track record of tardiness.
Baloney. I'm always on time.
And you know, obviously, one of the
name the last thing I was late to.
What? I want you to tell me the last thing you were on time for.
I do have late for this show. I know. There you go. I do have time management issues. I will be the first to admit. Oh, Superstar.
So I'm gonna
start emailing the other day. Are you gonna be on time for the shuttle? The shuttle leaves at 12:05. You have like a conniption about it. I'm like, dude, if we miss the shuttle, we could just get in the car and drive to Hammond, Indiana. It's not that big of a deal. I've been to Hammond many times. It's not
all right, a friendly wager. I have the first round, if and when we get to Horseshoe, says that you are late. You're busy. You got so much stuff going on Saturday morning. You end up.
Morning.
Yeah. I don't know what you do.
It'd be true too. Right? There's no doubt.
Yeah. Here's what's gonna happen. It's gonna be 11:40, and you're gonna call me or text me. You're gonna say, "Dude, I got busy. I got all the stuff going on. I'm just gonna come down, pick you up, and we're gonna drive." The first beer is on me if that does not happen.
We'll still make it. It's like
we'll still make it, but I'm just trying to show that my point was very valid in saying, hey, are you going to be on time?
I have to take the train down and meet you or a cab and meet you at your hotel so we could take this stupid bus because if I miss this bus, or this, whatever we're taking, then I'll never hear the end of it from now in between this Amtrak.
I'm just saying, you know, I'd really like to get the Horseshoe, and there's a free shuttle, and yes, we can just drive. I don't care how we get there. I'd like to definitely go. I just figured that way you're downtown. You don't need a car. Everything works out perfectly for you long-term of the day. But that's not going to happen. You're going to call me, and we're going to end up driving to the Horseshoe.
Well, I mean, I don't need I don't want to bring my car down because, first of all we're going to do, like, aside from going to this casino thing, we're going to be in Streeterville, River North, and the West Loop all day and night, right?
Yeah.
So,
I don't foresee us going to any other locations other than those. But, yeah, I mean, so you definitely do not need your car for this.
No, and I could take a cab home real quick. It's not, so, I don't want to bring it down. Yeah, I mean, something could happen in the morning, you know. I mean, it's a long ways away. It's two days away.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on trying to get you to the Amtrak for St. Louis.
Yeah, we should make mention. I know one of the last shows that we did here on this show, I think the actual last podcast I did was Hockey Nights. But the last shows we did here, we talked about how we were inviting our listeners out in California. If you're going to be at the Blackhawks LA Kings game on February 3rd, we will be out there. We'll actually be traveling down from Vegas that day, and we're going to be hanging out in LA that afternoon, evening, and a little bit longer. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as it gets closer. But Blackhawks play in St. Louis on December 28th. And we're going to get down there and for that as well. That'll also involve gambling because it's in St. Louis and there's plenty of that. And of course, the Blackhawks-Blues game at Scott Trade. I know we have plenty of old friends and acquaintances in St. Louis. I'm sure we'll be commiserating with a few of those. And then I know there'll be a lot of Blackhawks fans, maybe even some people that are listening to this. It'll be down there for that as well. We will be there, and we're talking about this Amtrak. I, Chris Block, have never been on a train in my life. Well, I've been on the CTA, but that technically does not count as a train. I've never been on the Metra, and I've never been on Amtrak. And this trip down to St. Louis, I don't know why I agreed to this. I like driving. I need to be in control. But I'm relinquishing control because you're trying to impress this Amtrak speed. Well, it's not a speed train yet down to St. Louis. So I figured, well, we'll give it a try. So I'm trying new things. I'm getting old and I'm venturing out of my comfort zone. And so, yeah, but this, what time does this train leave? Like 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I think it's like 9:30.
Well, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm in the loop every day by like 6:30, but that's the other thing. I could leave my car in the garage all weekend. I don't care. Company pays for it, so so that won't be a problem.
We'll get you on the train and
the problem will be go down there. Because I'll get down there, and then the problem will be getting me out of my office into Union Station by 9:30. That'll be the problem.
Yeah, exactly. I've only taken Amtrak a few times, and it's always been up to Ann Arbor. But Block, I think you're really going to like this. You know, you're not in control. You don't have the power, but at the same time, you can sit back, relax. I know we're going to spend quite a few of those hours in the bar car having some beverages. Show up to our destination a little loose and start the weekend off right.
Our seats, are they in the bar car?
No, the bar car is, a little ways down either way, and it's just like a little cafe, and then there's like restaurant style booth there that you could just sit down there if you want. You don't even have to sit in your seat. They're not designated seats.
Oh,
so we'll
okay.
sit down in our seats for a little while. We'll get going, and then we'll venture down to the bar car, and everyone will think that we abandoned our bags, and we'll come back when we are almost there, and it'll be nice. You'll like it. Trust me. After this, you'll never want to drive down there again.
I'm guaranteed to be miserable before we get to Manuka.
Probably.
Is that a stop?
But I know you were. I want you to have an open mind. Yeah, here's what's going to happen. We're going to get to like the second stop, which I don't know where it is. We can get to Joliet, and you're going to be looking at me and be like, "Screw this, dude. Let's get out here and just take a cab back to my house, and we'll drive."
Let's rent a car.
Yeah, cool. Let's just rent a car in Joliet. Drive.
Yeah, so we'll be down in we're actually going down a day early. The Blackhawks-Blues game's on a Saturday night. We'll be down there on Friday because we got a lot of things to do, a lot of people to see. We're going to try to find a place in the Lou to watch the Blackhawks play the Avalanche that night at home. I know a few places where we can go. They got the package. We're going to put the game on and watch the game. And then go out and have some fun afterwards. But, yeah, that's that. Anything else you need to catch up on here with me before we move on?
No. I think that's it as far as venting. I mean, it'd be nice if you read an email and actually, like, you know, click links that I sent you and, you know, things like that. But no, other than that, everything's good.
You're so disgruntled with me all the time because I don't answer emails in a timely enough manner.
I don't expect you to receive my email, it hits your inbox at 10 o'clock for you to immediately read it and respond to me by 10:05. But I routinely get an email a day or two later, you know, no, I haven't checked this out. In fact, I just read your email now. Dude, 2 days later.
Well, I'm a busy guy. I'm doing two people's jobs. Never mind. I don't sit in front of my computer all day reading email and Twitter. Like I have things to do.
So that's it. Hey, you know what? Check the link that I sent you for the, you know, the St. Louis issues, and then I won't be as scrawny at you until Saturday morning when you call me and say you're driving to Hammond.
One more piece of business here before we move on. Superstar, are you up for doing a show on Tuesday?
I might be able to do Tuesday. Let me double check and get back to you. Wednesdays, Thursdays are obviously best, but Tuesdays might be able to work.
Well, Wednesday's a Rockford Ice Hogs game. I'd like to get back out to Rockford before I leave for California, which is the next day. So, it's pretty much Tuesday or it doesn't happen. Because I don't something rather remarkable happened the other day. And I don't want to talk about it right now. We'll talk about it next week. I think we're going to need to do a show on Tuesday, and we'll have plenty to talk about, I believe. I'll tell you about it this weekend. But should have plenty to talk about on Tuesday. So try to nail that down for me. Moving along, I know that. Couple of news items, I guess. Michael Hanzus was put on long-term IR today. No big surprise there. And then the Blackhawks' corresponding transaction, they recalled Alex Broadhurst, the younger Broadhurst, from AHL Rockford to take Hanzus' place on the roster. It didn't really shock me or anything because by process of elimination, you know, you take a center off of the Hawks roster, you got to put a center back on. And Drew LeBlanc is not really playing, you know, really any good right now. And, you know, I think Philip Deneau, you know, he just needs to keep playing. I mean, that Deneau-McNeil line with whoever they've had on the left wing, whether it be Terry Broadhurst or Garrett Ross for the most part, Brad Winchester, some other guys. That's been probably the Ice Hawks' most consistent line all year. I don't know that it really does. I guess what I'm getting at is I don't think Alex Broadhurst, I don't expect him to play in Chicago. I mean, he may get into a game, but they've got the West Coast trip coming up. Jeremy Morin's back in the lineup, I believe, tonight. In fact, I know he is against the Coyotes in the game that's going on as we record this. We should talk about Morin in a little bit. If people are, like, surprised why he wasn't in the lineup, I think it's actually kind of obvious. And Alex Broadhurst, I mean, he's definitely got some skill. I mean, he's interesting to watch. He's still so raw yet. I mean, there's not, he'll make nice moves and he definitely has nice touch on his hands and defense is, you know, I mean, what a lot of these Ice Hogs, and the Ice Hogs are terrible right now, by the way. Should probably mention that, first of all. A lot of the problem with what these Ice Hogs guys have right now is that they're pretty inexperienced. The problem that they have right now is that they have – I don't think it's a lack of effort. I mean, there was a lack of effort in Grand Rapids last week. That was one of the worst hockey games I've ever seen the Ice Hogs play. That matinee game in Grand Rapids last week. They were just indefensible how bad they were. I think the problem that they are is it's not the effort, it's the application of the effort. And they're just not, it's a tough thing to kind of live through if you're watching the team, because it's just, they just need time to kind of figure things out, these younger guys. But there's some simple things that aren't happening. And Alex Broadhurst was one of the guys that you would have to point to. And they don't shoot the puck enough. And, I made a point on Twitter. I kind of gave the business to Drew LeBlanc over the weekend when I was out in Rockford, whenever that was. I think it was on Friday, I want to say. And, I mean, Drew LeBlanc hadn't had a shot on goal in five games. Almost five games he went without a shot on goal, which is, I mean, you think about it, this is a guy that's on the top two lines in Rockford. And he goes four-plus games without a shot on goal. I mean, you have to try almost. And he's not trying. I mean, it's like he's just a guy that doesn't shoot. And he dicks around with the puck too much. And because you know that he's not a shooter, as a defender, Drew LeBlanc makes himself very easy to play against, because you can cheat. As a defender, because you know that, you can presume that he's not going to shoot. And Alex Broadhurst is the same way. Not to the degree LeBlanc has been of late, but Alex Broadhurst is the same way. So I guess it surprised me a little bit, but if you really kind of go and think about it, process of elimination, I know that they really like Alex Broadhurst. There are guys there that are really high on him. If anybody remembers back to late last season when NHL produced that NHL 36, that it was a two-parter on the Blackhawks. It followed the Blackhawks around for like a day and a half. And there was that scene in the owner's suite, which is actually kind of funny, where John McDonough is sitting there talking to Rocky Wirtz, and McDonough's telling Rocky, he's like, yeah, this guy, he's our draft pick, and we want to – this is almost verbatim, too. I can't believe I remember. It was he's our draft pick. Our scouts really like him. We want to sign him. We're going to start – we want to put him in Rockford and start him in Rockford, but our scouts really like him. And then John McDonough goes, I've seen his YouTube stuff. It's really good. Which is, I don't know, it's so funny. But a lot of people thought, the point of that was, a lot of people thought when they saw that they were talking about Teravainen. They weren't talking about Teravainen, although Teravainen is obviously a tremendous prospect. They were talking about Alex Broadhurst. And, I mean, again, it's kind of a reward, kind of, I don't know. I think that I don't know why they needed to recall him today, other than the Ice Hogs were en route to Grand Rapids today when it happened, so they probably decided to pluck him off the bus while he was still in the area. I think it happened at the Schaumburg Transportation Center. So, but anyway, I don't know. I wouldn't expect much from him. And as far as Jeremy Morin goes, you know, Morin, the one thing that Morin's kind of guilty of a lot is that he's kind of a drifter on the ice. Not mentally as much as it is where, you know, in the spots that he's on the ice. And I've seen in games, I've seen Quenneville go to him and talk to him about his positioning on the ice. And there are spots that, you know, in Quenneville's offense, you know, and you know, all over the ice. I don't think this is really as much of a defensive thing with Jeremy Morin as it is an all over the ice thing with him. I mean, there's spots as a winger that you need to be in and reads that you need to make when your center is in a certain spot, the winger's got to go to another spot. And Morin is, you know, wasn't making those reads and he wasn't getting to those areas. And Quenneville's very strict about that. And I mean, he obviously wanted to make a point with Morin. You know, Morin's got the skill to be there. He's got the skill to be there. I would say that Morin's time to go up was last year. I really believe that. Some guys, you know, timing is very important. And, you know, there's that window when you're having success and everything is clicking and mentally you're strong and you're ready to go. And unfortunately for Jeremy Morin, the Blackhawks just didn't have an opening, and he was stuck in Rockford. And I think that Jeremy expected to make the Blackhawks out of camp, but he definitely had to work for it. I think he expected it, and then to not make it again. I wonder how much this is mentally that has taken him back a couple of notches. Because I do believe that could be something that has affected him. That, you know, some guys, it is important when they get the call. And for him, I mean, Jeremy Morin was playing fantastic last year, as was Ben Smith. And, you know, that's the problem of being an organization that has so much depth. You know, it's great for the organization. The fans feel great about it because you have so much depth. But there's also a downside to that is that when guys are ready and there's not a spot for them to move into and the organization isn't really in a position where they're like, well, hey, let's make room for this guy. I'm not saying that this happened in Morin's case because it's, you know, that hasn't been a lot of games between late last season and now, but in some other cases and maybe in the future, you got to wonder if a guy gets to that spot where he's ready and there's no room for him, and perhaps he can regress a bit. Whether it's his game, maybe he falls into bad habits, or whether it's mentally. So, pluses and minuses to having prospects that I don't know that they're great prospects. Mark McNeil certainly looked really, really, really good at times. And, overall, I think overall Mark McNeil's been the Ice Hogs' best player. But, you know, he'd take your time with him. A couple injuries over the weekend. Antti Raanta injured, taken out of the game on Saturday night in Rockford against the Iowa Wild. Raanta was, I haven't watched the game yet. I was planning on doing that tonight too. Raanta, the way it was explained to me was there was a collision behind the net. He finished the period, but after the period, he didn't, you know, he talked to the ice hockey trainer and he didn't feel right. And, I haven't heard anything that he's going to be out. And obviously the ice hockey haven't recalled a goalie, which they could do tomorrow. They'll be in Grand Rapids. But I think it was just a kind of a day-to-day thing. I wouldn't be surprised if Kent Simpson starts in Grand Rapids on Friday. They're back in Rockford on Saturday against San Antonio. But the way it was described to me, it wasn't something that was serious. And it obviously appears as though he's going to be fine because they haven't made a recall. if they weren't sure if he was going to be able to play this weekend, I'm sure they would have recalled a goalie before now. The other injury to note is Adam Clendenning. Adam Clendenning was, I did see this. He was going into the corner on Saturday in the third, in the second period, third, I don't remember when it was, but it was in the game on Saturday night. Clendenning was going into the corner. Jason Zucker, Minnesota Wild prospect, was also going into the corner for that puck. It was a 50-50 puck in the corner, and they both kind of got there at the same time, and there was a collision. It was a clean check. There was nothing wrong with the check. I mean, Zucker got kicked out of the game because what happened was Clendenning, you know, got checked, and he flew into a stanchion, and he got knocked out, and kind of an ugly scene in front of the folks there in Rockford. So it was kind of one of those things where I was told he was okay, but I don't know how long he'll be out. The Ice Hogs went out and signed Blake Kessel from the University of Wisconsin. Well, he's a pro, but he was playing in the ECHL, Phil Kessel's younger brother. And Blake Kessel be in the lineup, I believe, in Grand Rapids on Friday. They sent Joe Gleason down. Joe Gleason really hasn't been playing since Bobby Shea came up. Bobby Shea is actually playing very well. A guy that was an invitee to the Blackhawks prospect tournament in Ontario, in London, Ontario, in the fall. And the Ice Hogs got him they worked out a deal with an ECHL club, brought him in, sent him to Toledo, and then after the Svedberg injury, he came up, and he's actually playing very, very well for the Ice Hogs. So Bobby Shea in, Joe Gleason down, Blake Kessel probably playing. I don't know the timetable on Clendenning. Victor Svedberg's getting close to returning, but they're kind of been very vague on when he's returning. He's skating, but it's an arm injury, so there's no – him skating really isn't indicative of anything. I think that covers that. What do you think of the Blackhawks so far?
You know, I think there's obviously holes, and I think we talked about it more in the run in 2010 is I'm a little worried about their depth. I think obviously that comes with the influx of younger guys. You know, obviously you talked about Morin, Ben Smith, you know, just you look at the team and it seems like they're a little top-heavy. To me, as far as, you know, the skill positions and the impact players. And I just wonder how the younger guys are going to be able to hold up, especially with such a funny year. Obviously, we have the circus trip coming up now, obviously another West Coast trip later. But you also have that long Olympic break, too. And obviously, you're going to have numerous guys from this team on a bunch of those teams or vying for those teams. So, you know, the young guys, you know, how they're going to hold up with kind of a quirky season, kind of right now, you know, it's a wait and see for me. But obviously that is something to look at. Backup goaltending position obviously has been talked about ad nausea, you know, as far as what's going on with Hobby and you know, the right move is to bring Ronta up or, you know, look outside the organization for another backup. So, you know, a lot of question marks. Are playing well, but, you know, I think it's far from a finished product.
I would give Hobby Boone a little bit more time. You don't want to rush Ronta. You know, he's a guy that, you know, they've been minor things that he's healed from pretty quickly, but he's already had two injuries. You know, and the second one on Saturday was, you know, and I did an article. I didn't post it online, but it was in the Committed Indian a few weeks ago. I did an article on Ronta, and, part of it I talked actually with Adam Clendenning about Ronta. One of Ronta's big attributes is that he that he can come out and play the puck. He's actually very good, a pretty adequate puck handler. He's confident. He can come out and do that. He's a good skater. So, you know, but he did get hurt doing that on Saturday. So, I just think with him, you got to give him time because he's not a big goalie. He's not he's not big at all. He's like 6 feet tall. You know, he's got weight on him. He'll be durable. But he's a reflex goalie, and he's got to be on his angles every night, or he's going to get lit up. So it's just, I think, repetition of facing this North American style is pretty crucial to his long-term viability for the Blackhawks. So I would really, really advise against rushing Raanta. You know, there's no reason why Corey Crawford can't play 75-80% of the Blackhawks games. He does not play an exhausting style. He's a big goalie, both in the way he plays and also in his frame. There's no reason why he can't play 75-80% of the games. And if Hobby Bullen can stay healthy and you have that one game every couple of weeks that you got to score four to win, five to win. But I don't really see that as – I would take that over rushing who your organization is kind of counting on to be the backup goalie next year. I don't see why you rush that. I mean, you know, worst-case scenario, you're going to be looking at Raanta as a guy that if Corey Crawford gets hurt, you know, in the next – you know, next year or the season after, you know, you're going to be looking at Raanta to be the guy. So why not give him all the time that you have this year? You know, Kent Simpson's a young 21-year-old goalie. Kent Simpson's best days are 2 or 3 years down the line. Kent Simpson can learn from the bench, and Raanta could play and play and play and play. And that's the way it should be. Matt Caruth should be in Toledo this year. Kent Simpson can learn by being in practice with these guys and just being around a guy like Raanta. Raanta's a professional goalie. This is his fourth year as a professional. So for a full year as a professional. So he's a professional goalie with good experience. And from everything I've heard, all the guys like him. Like he's a positive goalie. He's not like, you know, some goalies are really odd and they're introverted and they have all these quirks. And apparently Raanta's not like that at all. Raanta's, you know, in there on game day, hour before the game, chirping with all the guys. You know, he has his routines, but as far as I know, he's really loose and the guys like him. Just give him all the time that he needs down there. I didn't like the Hobby Bullen signing when I saw it. I mean, it didn't make any sense to me. You know, this is a guy, you know, people forget, this is a guy the Blackhawks tried to run out of town. You know, when they signed Hobby Bullen, when they signed Hue, they locked Hobby Bullen out of training camp. And, you know, then as fate would have it, trade fell through and they couldn't work out a deal to send him to Russia. And he stuck around. He ended up being the number one goalie by the end of the year. But it was also his contract year. And ever since, he's been injured in Edmonton, and now he's a 40-year-old backup goalie. I don't know, you know. But I just give him time, you know, unless he's sulking about being skipped over in these assumed spots where you would think that Hobby Bullen would start and he's back-to-back situations of late, you know, unless he has a bad attitude about those things. I don't know that he does or he doesn't, but I don't see any reason to, you know, make a move there right now. You know, if it's something in January where it's still the same thing and maybe Raanta's, you know, he's a guy that's hovering around a 3 goals against and his performances are up and down, you know, there's not any sort of consistency, then maybe you go out and get another guy. You know, but I mean, that's my impression right now is the way the Hawks are looking at it. They're looking at it the same way. They're just going to play Ronta as much as they can. And, you know, in December, January, they'll take another look at it. You know, but that's my impression. I don't know, but just the way, just looking at the way things are going, that seems how they're approaching it.
What did you think of the Andrew Shaw extension?
Well, thanks for reminding me. you know, I didn't even see it. So let me pull it up here. Talk about it for a second.
2-year extension for Andrew Shaw, I believe. I didn't hear the official numbers, but I think it averages out to about $2 million a year. I believe it was, I don't know if it's two each or if it was weighted one way or the other. But if I remember right, it was 2 years for $2 million each.
Yeah, that's what Kapke has listed, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, I think a few things play this. His style of play, you know, there would probably be, you know, a handful of teams looking for a guy like that. He's obviously, I believe he's 21, 22. So, you know, younger guy, you lock him up for another 2 years. I like the move, but somebody brought up, and I can't remember where I read this, but it would make sense if they got this done now. You have a lot of deals, a lot of guys coming up, and it's one less thing you have to worry about coming the off season down the road. So locking him up for another 2 years, I like the deal. It's not, you know, $2 million is not bad. So I don't know. What did you think about it?
I thought it was really good. You know, he's you know, he could play two different positions. He could play right wing or center. And, you know, I watched him play in Rockford, and he was a difference maker in Rockford. He's a difference maker in Chicago. I mean, he wasn't a difference maker in Rockford during the lockout, but that's another story. That was a different Andrew Shaw as well. But, I like the term. The money is perfect, probably. I mean, you know, I mean, you think about it, you're getting a guy that has been a fixture on your third line, and you're getting him for two years at $2 million. I mean, that's a pretty damn good deal, you know. And, you know, I had one of the emails I got, actually a few of them, where, you know, the question is, like, you know, who, you know, because a lot of people ask, like, you know, who the Blackhawks are going to have to get rid of in order to keep everybody. You know, those are always, that's always something that's on people's minds, I guess. And, you know, I think that the next guy, and I don't think it's that far away, and it's going to probably light some people's hair on fire, but the next guy that they're going to lock up is Brandon Boleg. And, he deserves it. I mean, he's played really well for that role in that position. You know, I think even some people are starting to come around on Boleg. But I mean, there's a couple of reasons why the Blackhawks are gonna nail him down. Number one, he's actually a UFA. Shaw will be 23 this summer. He was going to be an RFA. Boleg will actually be a UFA. So they have to get something going with him pretty soon. Secondly, the Blackhawks have no one in the organization that can come up and fill his role. Like they've got guys in Rockford. Like who are the guys in Rockford that have size? Wade Brookbank, who will never be an NHL player again. I mean, I say that. I mean, maybe somebody will call him up to get punched in the face a couple nights. I don't know. But Wade Brookbank's a really good guy, but he's you know, he's hanging in there because he loves the game, and that's fine. And he actually hasn't played poorly for Rockford so far, so good for him. But, I mean, Kyle Beach, that's over and done with. Mark McNeil, but Mark McNeil's not that type of player. He's he'll probably start on the Hawks' third line. Whenever he does make that jump full time, and I mean, but the point is they don't have anybody in the pipeline that is going to fill that role. And no matter what you think about fighting in the NHL or what, you know, why teams have a player like that, no matter what you think of it, the fact of the matter is it exists, and it's a role that teams and coaches and players value. And the one thing that I'll always respect about Brandon Boleg, and I covered him in Rockford, and he's a nice guy. I think he's kind of a dope. You know, he's kind of a goof. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not, you know, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. But the one thing I respect about him is he's a guy that understands what his place would be in order to be an NHL player. And he understands what that means and what that sacrifice is. And that sacrifice is that, you know, he's got to fight. And, you know, again, you can make fun of it. You can ridicule it. You can hate that it exists. It exists, and it's a real role, and it's a stressful role. And I respect a guy that you know, stands up and says, I'm going to fill this role. I'm going to get punched in the face. I'm going to punch other people in the face. And, I'm gonna do that job, but at the same time, and this is, you know, that respect reaches out with Boleg because his game has improved so much in the past 3 or 4 years. 4 years, really. I mean, this was a guy that couldn't get on the ice in Rockford to a guy that I would not be surprised to see Boleg on that second or third penalty kill unit as far as forwards go pretty soon here. I mean, he's, again, you look at the position that he is in your group of 12 forwards for where he plays and what's expected of him. He's a sound player. He's not, he gets emotional. Sometimes he does dumb things. Yes, but he knows how to play the game, and he actually plays it pretty effectively. And that line with Kruger and Smith on the other side has been very good of late, very good of late. And, I think that it's a no-brainer at this point, that, and it'll probably happen sooner than people think. Sooner or later, that Boleg will get re-upped, and good for him. You know, he's a guy that's worked really, really hard, and, you know, I think he deserves at least, you know, a limited amount of respect for even people that despise, for whatever trip that they're on, that role.
No disagreement here. I think he's been, you mentioned his improvement over 4 years. He's shown a great improvement over just the last year. You know, I think it you could even shorten that time frame even to the last year. He's not even cool.
I mean, he's a guy that's stuck around every summer. He's split between home and St. Louis area and Chicago, but he's stuck around in Chicago. He's worked on his game. Every summer he's worked on his skating with Kevin Delaney. He's worked on his fitness, his strength, his core, the power in his stride, but also his agility. And, you know, he's always had a pretty decent shot. And, you know, he knows where to be on the ice. You know, getting back to the Morin thing. Sometimes Morin loses, you know, his head positionally on the ice. And Boleg, you don't see that as much these days out of Boleg. I saw it a lot in Rockford last year, you know, at times. And Boleg was, getting back to the emotional thing, you know, it was pretty easy, you know, the last few years to get Boleg riled up. You know, if you kind of came in and knocked him over, it's like that, you know, that Hulkism that, you know, you knocked me over, now I'm going to come and get you. And there isn't as much of that now. And it's a testament to his maturity as well. He's really matured as not only as a, you know, his demeanor on the ice, but also his game has, and he deserves credit for that. All right. Sorry, I'm getting tech. I was supposed to be at the game tonight. I was supposed to be in the suite. Remember the you went with me the one night with the actress.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was supposed to be up there tonight. So sorry. I had to do the Puck Chatter Radio with Superstar.
Priorities.
All right. Hey, Chris, this is unsigned. Probably doesn't want me to read his email either. Hey, Chris, do you still believe Ben Smith can replace Frolik on the PK? Would seem to me Q would have tried him there by now. It's a huge role that needs to be filled. I think that Smith just needs to play. You know, like, Smith is, he's a smart player, and he just needs to play. If he's in the lineup every night, he's only going to get better and better every night. His ceiling isn't very high. Like, you know, him being on the top line and, you know, like he was a couple of years ago in the playoffs and scoring timely goals. I mean, he should be on the power play. You know, like how Shaw is on the one unit, Smith should be on the other unit. Because Ben Smith's goals are scored around the net. And he's got great hand-eye coordination. He gets the spots, and he sees the puck well, and he gets a stick on the puck. And the Blackhawks power play could use some more of that. So why, you know, he should be on a power play consistently. And maybe that's just something he's got to earn by earning his keep in the being in the lineup every night and being, you know, making it so that Quenneville doesn't even consider taking him out. Which if he does, you know, if he stays healthy and he's in that lineup every night, I have confidence that Ben Smith will get to that level. You know, Ben Smith, you know, old Blackhawks fans will get this reference, but Ben Smith reminds me every bit of Bob Bassan. You know, he's a role player. He's a guy that can give you energy, but, you know, he's not the biggest guy, but you also, you know, he's gritty in the corners. He wins battles. He keeps plays alive. He does the little things like you know, extending a shift or extending zone time so you can finish a change or get a change started. That Ben Smith's great at that kind of stuff, you know, and that's, you know, that's some of the stuff that fourth line's been doing. So I think if he could stay in the lineup with consistency, yeah, I think he could get a spot on that PK. The one thing, sometimes with Q, you make a couple of mistakes and you're kind of doomed with him. And I think there were a couple of PKs that Q saw him on. And, you know, Smith was, you know, I think he was in training camp. There was a couple of goals scored against. So maybe he's holding that against him right now. But, and I remember last year, Quenneville saw a game where the IceHogs just got destroyed. This was earlier in the season. Their PK just got destroyed, and Smith was a part of that. So you might remember that too. But, I mean, I do. I think he'll get a shot eventually, and he'll do fine. You know, Ben Smith's a good player. Okay, here we go. This is from Mike. Chris, so can we now... hold on, I got to move the microphone. Bear with me here, Superstar. That's really not going to do me any good. Okay. All right. Chris, so can we now finally officially claim Kyle Beach... the Kyle Beach era a bust? And he puts 16 question marks behind bust. Bust may be too kind, he continues. Has there been a Blackhawks first-round draft pick, at the upper end of the first round anyway, who has been a bigger waste than this guy? Seriously, can it get any more damaging or damning to the organization than attempting to hide a guy in Europe for the remainder of his contract to not only have Beach sent home, returned to center? I think he meant to only have Beach sent home, returned to sender. He couldn't make the Blackhawks. He got cut from the worst team in Sweden, and now he can't crack the IceHogs lineup. What more do we need to have to cut bait with this guy? That's Mike. Okay. I probably should have turned the microphone off for that. What more? Well, you don't have to do any more because they're trying to find another place for Kyle to play, I believe. Well, first of all, I know a lot of people read the article that I wrote about Kyle after he showed up in Sweden and did that video interview where he said that he was forced the video interviewer was referencing Kyle Beach's catalog of YouTube videos that involve him fighting and doing other things that didn't really involve scoring goals or, you know, the things that he was actually drafted to do. I wrote a, you know, big kind of scathing article on Kyle. The reason why you haven't seen me, Kyle won't talk to me. So there you go. I tried to talk to Kyle and you know, but he's mad at me. And I expected that. But so if you're wondering why I haven't had Kyle Beach quotes since he's been back, that's the reason why. He won't talk to me. I don't think it's a permanent thing. It may be a permanent thing. I actually saw him and we exchanged hellos. But when I asked to speak to him on the record, it was communicated to me that Kyle was not going to talk to me. So for now. So we'll see. We'll ask again the next time I'm out there. But I don't know how much longer Kyle's going to be here anyway. I'd be shocked, actually, if he finishes the season with the Blackhawks organization. At this point, I mean, email your Mike. The funny thing about this, and there's a lot that I know, but I don't really want to talk about it until I can ask Kyle and give him a chance to respond. There's a lot here. The interesting part about this whole Kyle Beach thing. To me, and I was referencing and talking about it in the article that I wrote, is that, you know, here you have a guy who this offseason got in the best shape of his life, showed up in training camp, was of all of the Blackhawks, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith included, was in the fifth best shape of anybody in training camp. And obviously he was in that kind of shape for a reason. And he gets into one exhibition game, which I know he wasn't happy with, but he gets into one exhibition game and then he gets sent back to Rockford. And Joe Quenneville says that Kyle should be focusing on having a good season and aiming to be a mid-season call-up. Kyle gets to Rockford, and suddenly he wants to go to Sweden. Now, I don't know how the whole Sweden thing came about, but I know that Kyle pushed for it. I don't know how happy Kyle is to be back. I'd love to ask him. I know I'm probably not going to get an honest answer, but I mean, I think both sides of the organization are pretty much done with each other. Both sides of this relationship are pretty much done with each other. And I just don't understand it. Again, from and that's why I'd love to talk to him, give him a chance to you know, say his piece. I'd love to know what happened between getting in that kind of shape and getting prepared for a season after he got that contract. You know, he got one more year. He got one more chance with this organization. They could have, like a lot of people expected them to. I mean, if I'm the Blackhawks, I sign him 10 times out of 10 because he's still a first-round draft pick. He's still an asset. And at some point, you could still get something for him. And you had a very young group in Rockford that could use a guy with that kind of experience under his belt, or for whatever you want to say about him, to come in and give you 20 goals. Because the Ice Hogs will probably fall 20 goals short of a playoff spot this year. With or without Kyle, and right now it's without Kyle because Kyle can't get in the lineup for whatever reason. And I don't disagree with him not being in the lineup. I don't know that it really matters one bit or another if he's in it or not. I'd love to know what happened in his head that he went from what was it just? And I've had someone say this to me that he just felt like, you know, again, I don't want to, he just felt like he had no future here. And I know that, you know, see, the thing about him going to Sweden, though, and not make, you know, he was on a three-week tryout contract, and then, you know, had that HV71, had that team, when Kyle went there, they were the worst team in their league. And they're a team like, I guess a good comparison would be, like the Rangers or the Washington Capitals. Like if the Washington Capitals were to start off like 1-12, heads would roll. I mean, it's not an organization that's got a ton of, you know, like championships or anything like that, but there's an expectation to be good, right? Well, that's what kind of happened over there. It's they're off to a terrible start, and they're searching for answers, and they decided to give Kyle a shot. Had that team performed better and won some more games, I think Kyle'd still be there. But they didn't. They kept losing. And that's not... That wasn't really Kyle's fault that they kept losing. They're just, for whatever reason, they're a bad mix. They're having a terrible season, bad goaltending, whatever the deal is over there. I don't cover them, and I only saw bits and pieces of the games, a few of the games that Kyle played over there. So I don't know. But had that team been 500 while Kyle was there, I gotta suspicion he'd still be there. But because they just kept losing and nothing changed, the organization felt that pressure, ownership over there felt that pressure to, okay, well, this isn't working, so now we're going to bring in different new guys, which they did. They brought in NHL veterans Erik Christensen and Chris Campoli. And they let Kyle loose because you can only have so many foreigners, North Americans. So, because neither the Blackhawks or Kyle expected him to be back this soon. I think that there was kind of a thought in each camp that he'd go to Sweden, it'd be a good experience for him, and then he'd come back at the – because the Sweden season ends in late February unless you make the playoffs, and Kyle could have come back in March, although I'm sure there's probably people that wouldn't have missed him, but I think that was the thought. And I don't think either side expected him to be back, you know, him to be back. And now it's a funny situation because I don't think he wants to be here anymore. I don't know that for sure. And I know that if I asked him that, he would give me some kind of malarkey answer. But I don't expect him to be with the team much longer, and it's best for Kyle. Although I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand how you put that much effort into an off season and then you suddenly just give up. And that, to me, that's what this was. I mean, there's opportunity still with going back to Rockford. You know, he could have been, with a solid season, he could have been one of the guys, the first guys, just because of tenure and the fact that there's so many young guys that need seasoning and need all that experience. He could have been one of the guys that, if with a good season, that would have been, you know, at the, you know, after the Morin and Peary recalls, he could have been, you know, up on that list of guys that would have got recalled, like Joe Quenneville said, at the middle of the season. But for some reason, Kyle just mentally quit. And you don't think that the organization doesn't think of it that way. So, no, he has no future here anymore. And I don't think that that was really the case in September, but it is now. And so can you call it a bust? Yeah, you can call it a bust now. It's unfortunate. It's, again, I've said this before. I like Kyle. Like, I've never had a bad experience dealing with Kyle. Like, I've written a lot about him. I've ripped him. But I've always been fair with him. And, because I think every guy deserves, you should be fair, and I've always been fair with him. But this is, you got to call it what it is now. And, his career is in big jeopardy right now because I don't get it. I don't get why you do all of that and then you just say, I don't want to be here anymore. That's I don't know. No, but maybe we'll talk to him some. Looking for another email here. What time is it? Oh boy. Hey, there's another superstar email I didn't read.
That'll be good, yeah.
Well, no, I didn't say I'm going to read it. I just said I just noticed.
Oh, I know. Ever.
If I ever mentioned how much I hate the new Yahoo,
You mentioned
Yahoo.
It to me, yeah. It sucks. I hate it, too.
Oh, so goddamn awful. You can't log in properly. It takes, like, 3 attempts to log out. It won't show me, like, any messages. Like, outside of, like you know, how you, like, reply back and forth, like you and I. It starts out as a message, and then you just reply back and forth off the original message. Well, after, like, the second reply, it truncates the entire message. It says, you know, so I got to hit that button that says, you know, message truncated. Hit this button. It's so annoying. Oh. Well, here's a question from another Mike. I'll ask you this first of all, superstar. How do you address? How do you assess the play of the Rockford graduates so far? He's talking about Peary and Morin. What do you think about them?
I think they fit in, you know, for what they're asked to do and what, you know. You know, you mentioned a lot about what their role on the team is. I think they played fine. I have no problem with them. I think them holding up, you know, long-term this year with the quirky schedule and everything going on this year and the grind of a full season up is still yet to be seen, obviously. But as far as what they're asked to do, You know, I think they played well. I wouldn't say they played great, but, you know, they played well enough to, you know, for what they're looking out of them.
More from Mike here. From a distance, it seems Klaus Dahlbeck has stepped up his offense this year to go along with solid defense. How close is he? Klaus has looked terrific this year. You know, as you know, that initial, like, when Vancouver picked up Ryan Stanton, who's playing great in Vancouver, really solid, paired a lot with Kevin Bieksa on the Canucks. They're playing the Sharks right now. I should turn that game on. But Dahlbeck, you know, he's kind of when, Ice Hogs, not only, this is a funny thing, like, the Ice Hogs lost Stanton, and then the Blackhawks were convinced, and they probably had a pretty good idea. General managers talk all the time. I'm sure Stan Bowman had an idea that had he put Mike Koska on waivers for the purposes of sending him to Rockford, that someone would have claimed Koska. I mean, that's the reason why he never sent Koska down. You know, so it was like, I don't know if the Blackhawks thought that, or figured that all along, or maybe they were like, well, you know, he's Mike Koska, and we'll eventually, you know, we'll do training camp and we'll send him to Rock. I don't know what they thought, but I mean, the reason why he didn't get sent down is because they're afraid of him getting picked up. And really, there's no, Dahlbeck's not ready, but he's not that far. I mean, his offense is, it's not just that he has points. It's his willingness to, you know, see a puck, you know, that's within four strides, and to identify it, not hesitate, and jump right up into the, you know, into the circle. You know, Dahlbeck plays left defense, so jump up into that left circle and beat a forward to it to maintain zone possession. And not only beat a forward to it, he's not just like, you know, whacking at it, hoping that it goes down into the corner and rings around behind the net. No, he's picking up the puck, and, you know, this is stuff that you didn't see from him at all last year. I mean, the reads that he's making, he's shooting the puck a lot more. He has a lot more confidence. I know that the big thing that he worked on in the offseason was his quickness. And he did a lot of core training to maintain his mass, because he's 6'4" and he's thick. I mean, he's a manly Swedish man superstar, and he's Klaus Dahlbeck. He's all man. I mean, there's a lot to be fascinated by, you know. And I just watching him in year one, it was like, yeah, he'll be a guy who's in Rockford for a few years, and, you know, maybe he goes back home at the end of that, or maybe he gets traded and, you know, somebody else gives him more opportunity. But, I mean, the way he looks now, I mean, I've thought all along that, I mean, there's two things that are going to happen here. Because Mike gets in the email here, Mike gets into a lot more, it's a really long email, but, you know, he's talking about the defense next year and what we could look forward to seeing. Now, as the defense is constructed now, I mean, I think the thing that we could figure is that Michael Rosenthal, in one way or another, will be moved out. I think that you could keep Sheldon Brookbank around as sort of that utility seventh guy. They like Brookbank. I think Wade Brookbank, if he wants it, will have a job with the organization after the season's over. Wade Brookbank lives in Barrington, so he's settled up in the Chicago area. So I could see that happening too. So they like the Brookbanks, you know, so you could see Sheldon sticking around, but, I mean, it's pretty much a foregone, I think it's pretty much common knowledge now that after Notre Dame's season ends, that Steven Johns is jumping right into the NHL. So, You know, you've got him there, so it creates an interesting situation because that's your six then for next year, right? It's Keith and Seabrook, you know, Letty Jalmerson, Oduya, Stephen Johns. However, I mean, do you slide one more year with that as your top six with Brookbank as your seventh and let Dahlbeck and Svedberg and Dylan Olsen and Adam Clendenning play another year at the minor league level, which it would be hard with Olsen because Olsen needs a new deal. Clendenning will need another year. Clendenning is, I'll tell you something, and I said this last year, but I'm going to say it again. And I like Adam Clendenning. Adam Clendenning is a nice guy, and he's got the points. And you look at the Ice Hog stat column, and you're like, wow, he's really doing well. But this is a word of advice for our listeners. If you know someone or read someone that suggests that Adam Clendenning is NHL ready, you have identified an idiot, because Adam Clendenning is a lot of nights he's a mess. He's not. It doesn't mean that he's off the tracks or he's not still a top prospect, because he is. I mean, his game needs a lot more time to mature, and I think it will. I think it will, but he's still got a lot to work on. So I don't know. The guy that's replaced Stanton, though, is Dylan Olsen. Dylan Olsen is flying under the radar and having a very good season so far. So, yeah, I mean, you could see in Victor Svedberg, it's crazy. I mean, that guy, he's tall. He's really skinny. I mean, he's got to put on some weight. But that guy can move the puck, and he's fleet of foot. I mean, he's a lot better skater than I ever imagined he'd be, even when people told me he was a good skater. I mean, he covers a lot of ice, and he's a good skater. So, yeah, that's – see if he's got anything else here. I think we pretty much covered on the show. Superstar.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's make sure you're still there.
I'm still here, man. I'm learning ice hockey.
All right. On Tuesday, we'll try to talk. I'm not going to get a chance to go out to Rockford, obviously, Saturday. We have plans. But so on Tuesday, we'll kind of focus on the Blackhawks, and I'll have probably some stories to tell on Tuesday night. So we're going to come back on Tuesday night. We're going to do one more show. I'm not bringing the recording equipment to California. I don't think I'll be in any state of mind at any point to record. I couldn't even, like, I almost had total equipment loss tonight, and all I was doing was trying to place a big thirsty beverage of water down.
Yeah, you definitely don't want our show to end up like those guys at RadioExposed.net.
I'm very, very afraid because Tinky over there at Radio Exposed, he said I promised him that after I got my show back up and running that I'd come on and do his show, and he wants to talk about internet dating. Why don't I just go on Radio Exposed and bury myself for a couple hours? Why don't I do that? I'm sure. Well, I'm actually very positive a few of our listeners would love that, but I'm not looking forward to it. But I promised them, so at some point, I'm sure we're going to do that. All right, Superstar.
That's going to be Muscle Syndrome Radio.
Yeah. I'll have to drink during it. It'll make for a lot better stories. I got some great stories, but. All right, Superstar. I think that's about it.
All right, buddy.
All right. So the plan is Tuesday. If it doesn't happen, nobody will be surprised. How many more of these do you think we'll actually do before the end of the year?
Three?
That's the betting line? Three?
Yeah, well, we'll try to get one in Tuesday, You know, we're going to get into the holidays, so that's not going to happen. We'll do a probably like a monthly preview show and then probably a playoff preview show. That will wrap it up.
So you're basically telling me by the end of the year we won't get the 150.
No, I think we will. Because
we have to do is go to 150 and then I'm done. I quit.
Yeah, well, we've all heard that before, too. So no, I think we will. I don't know what number this is currently, but we'll get to 150.
All right, you heard it here first. We'll get the 150, and I'll make the bus to the Horseshoe on Saturday.
He will not.
But I'll miss the Amtrak to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Just so I can drive. I'll drive all. That's a pretty good bet. Superstar takes the Amtrak. I miss it and drive.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's a good bet, actually.
Yeah, that's a 50-50 proposition. Because you'll show up sober and I won't.
Yeah, well. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being patient. Thanks for being concerned for my well-being. That's awfully nice of everybody. Doing all right. I'm working like a madman. I'm drinking every now and then. I'm going out to California next week. I'm going to see a lot of Pearl Jam. Actually, I think we're going to a Bulls game. How miserable am I going to be?
Awful, miserable.
There's a Bulls game the afternoon at Staples, the afternoon of the second L.A. show, Pearl Jam L.A. show. So I'm pretty sure we're going to try to go to the Bulls game, Bulls-Clippers. It should be interesting. I've never seen a basketball game at Staples Center, so I cross that off my not really on a bucket list. But at my point of that, I got my card. I'm going to California and I got my card.
Yeah.
You want to take care of Rutu for a week?
No.
Good, because he's all excited about going and spend a week with his cousins.
No. With Rutu, you know, on the mend, coming back and, you know, fully healthy, I think my cats would destroy him. And
he caught it right about 20 minutes before I spilled water all over my computer. He caught a bunny in the backyard. The bunny, it did escape, went through the fence, but the fence made like an awful sound. I hope the bunny didn't hurt himself. Yeah, because it's dark, of course, and I didn't see the bunny. And then I went to go grab Rutu, but as I was grabbing him, he noticed the bunny. So he just took off running after it. And the bunny got away, but he nearly caught that bunny, which would have just – there would have been no show. I guarantee that if he had caught the bunny, there wouldn't have been a show tonight. All right, everybody. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks for your emails and concerns and comments. And I try to get back to them all. Sometimes, like even Superstar needs to wait a couple of days to get a response. Sometimes, but I always get back to everybody and or most everybody, unless you're a dick. Then I don't respond. But anyway, we'll talk to you guys next week with what I think is going to be a fun show with lots of stories. So. Check us back then. Good night, everybody. A rocket man. A rocket man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. So touchdown brings me round again. I'm a rocket man.
Disappointment to these 4,000 odd Charlestown fans who have packed this war memorial, paying good money to witness this fiasco.
I tell you, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
Let's get fucking like a monkey.